Hello everybody and welcome back to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference, and I'm truly excited today with our guest Dr. Ryan Wolfert, who is the co-founder of Total Health Spine and Nutrition and founder of upgradedparents.com. Love the name of that website. Dr. Ryan, welcome on board.
Well, thank you for having me, Nikki. This is going to be great.
Yes, super. I'm super excited because I've noticed you have been truly focused in on brain health. You've been doing a lot of work running big masterclasses and summits and interviewing many, many world-leading experts on brain health. And, you know, on this summit, we have different groups of people, but one of the groups are people who've, you know, had emotional trauma and they're doing, say, a lot of psychology work and haven't actually realized that many of their mental health symptoms could also be addressed more physiologically and not just with medical drugs. So that's kind of where I wanted you to kind of focus, but maybe you can also share a little bit about how you got into focusing on brain health as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can, I'm sure we'll get into that as we go through, especially the actionable steps that I put together just based on my life and then my, you know, thousands of patients and clients that I've been working with over the last 20 years. And I just realized that because, I mean, I'm trained as a chiropractor and it's exactly 20 years since I've graduated from chiropractic colleges.
Wow.
I was on a different interview earlier this week or last week. And I'm like, man, it's April. That's right. It's been 20 years. And, you know, I have a love of health and especially the brain ever since I was a kid and younger. And that's what led me down this path as well. But then also different challenges and struggles along the way and just how I could impact my health and my family's health. But, you know, that first question that you asked, like how emotional stress impacts your brain physically. And that, I mean, that's a great question because we feel these emotional stresses or we have these traumas in our lives. And even, you know, it might not even be a physical trauma, but a lot of time it's a mental trauma that leads to a cascade of events chronically on our brain, changing the physiology and the biochemistry of it. And we're actually doing a leaky brain summit, it's called, with my colleague and friend, Elena Villanueva. And we talk about this is, you know, the mental health field is I think it's the only health field that just is purely on symptoms and not really on any data or you know, like medically driven data. So I feel like one of the biggest dangers that people have, and again, we'll get into this as it's almost like when I give the solution, you'll see how emotional stress and emotional trauma ties into the chemical and the physiological changes that we see in the brain. But just from a purely just standpoint of, okay, we have anxiety or we have depression or we experience something that leads to that. And then now every thought, every experience that we have ties into that, creating these different interactions between the neurons and between the neurotransmitters and the cells and depletes some neurotransmitters, increases some hormones, decreases other hormones. And it's, I don't want to say crazy how that works. I say that, you know, not obviously crazy, but it's, we don't think about that because we can't see it. You know, it's all within our brain, within our body. And, you know, we have these mental traumas or emotional stresses and we go to the doctor. And I think that's one of the biggest dangers is we want answers, but then we, like you said, we go towards the medical route, which can be helpful in the short term, but chronically it leads to more and more issues, more dependence on drugs because one leads to the other. I mean, 70% of Americans are on at least one medication and over 20% are on five or more.
Wow.
The most common
crazy
after antibiotics are antidepressants.
Yeah.
So that's telling us there's a huge problem there. And I think that's what the biggest danger that can happen is it just leads it down that path into that cycle of disease and dependence. So, I mean, that's why this summit is so awesome. That's why our Leaky Brain Summit is so awesome because we tie in together the emotional trauma. And I don't even like using that word because trauma says it could be a bad thing. But, you know, I've had trauma, what I would call trauma in my life or setbacks or challenges, which looking back, it's like, man, I'm glad that happened.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's post-traumatic growth triggered by trauma, absolutely. And the good news is the impact of emotional trauma on the brain and the body can be reversed. So that's the beauty of it. Woohoo! And we can do this in so we're going to focus on more of the physiological things that you can do. I would love to hear your top, like, however many tips that you have that exclude not some of the pure psychology stuff, we're covering that elsewhere, and obviously not drug intervention. So what do you do? What are your top tips?
Well, I'm probably going to give a few psychological tips, but
Yeah,
just
that's
because
good.
they're so important, and because it's included in what I call my six pack of healthy longevity.
Sounds good. Yeah, go for
The
it.
six things. Yeah. So I have to start off with the number one thing is your focus and mindset.
Yep.
Because mindset is, other people might be talking about this on your summit. Mindset, I believe, is very misunderstood. Because mindset, a lot of people feel like they hear the word mindset and it's just, okay, I have to think positive. I
Yeah.
just need to think positive. I just need to say positive affirmations. I need to have this breakthrough aha. It's just like one time I'm just sitting there meditating or I'm sitting there breathing, and all of a sudden, oh, I figure everything out. I'm completely healthy. I'm completely happy. I know how to make money. I know how to fix everything in my life. And that's just not the case with any of those. Because part of mindset is in focus is this, or here's what focus is. I like to boil my six pack down into one or two sentences. So we all have unconscious stories, internal dialogue, thoughts that drive our actions, behaviors, and habits. So we as a society spend so much time trying to find out what action we can take and maybe taking that action to fix whatever ails us, especially with our health, with our brain, that we don't stop to consider what is driving us to that action. And that's that unconscious story. That's the iceberg below the surface. And
Yep.
it's not necessarily like diving deep, in my opinion, diving deep and finding out, okay, what, why did I have this in the first place? It's just identifying and being aware that it's there and accepting that, okay, this is driving how I feel and my expectations for my health and energy, for my, happiness, for my spirituality, for my relationships and love, for my career. So is what's driving us, and that's something I didn't learn until later in life. Of my six pack, this is probably the last one that I fully learned, which that's why I'm teaching it first, because this builds the foundation for what you're going to be learning, for the rest of the time here physiologically.
Right.
Because I can tell you, tell the listener, the viewer, all these actionable, like, my smoothie, and give you all tips for that, and like how I incorporate exercise into my life, how I've adapted my sleep and what I've done for my sleep, how I've worked on my posture and made that healthy. And I'm going to tell them that, but unless we ground it and create that healthy soil with focus and mindset, you might have some success, but is it going to be sustainable? So that's, I mean, my first part of the six pack is that focus and mindset. So what I suggest to people is not just covering up. Let's say you have a house that's run down and it needs to completely be rebuilt, almost like torn down, not exactly, not something like it, but yeah, completely torn down to build it back up. And it's too hard to build on top of that. And that's what, positive thinking and positive affirmations are. If you've already had this emotional stress, emotional trauma that's left you with so much anxiety and depression, you don't even want to get out of bed. We have to tear that down first and build it back up. So that's what the focus part is. This first tip I'll give you is just becoming aware of what you're telling yourself. We have to find out what is your story. Accept that it's a story and not necessarily true, or it's not absolutely true. Become aware of it. And you do that by just, I mean, you can do it either in silence, just sitting in silence, because through this situations that we're in are, you know, force us to just not have the life that we used to.
Yes.
You know,
so again,
coronavirus, let's take that for example. That's top of people's minds. It's not necessarily that is causing the biggest problem, like the actual virus, but it's now people have been and were quarantined in their house, and just like now all those thoughts are like flooding in and leading to this anxiety and depression. And now that maybe they're watching the news too much and Facebook and all these other social medias that are I do like, and they're built for us to connect. But when we come to depend on that, and then it seeps into our already existing story of what we expect for our lives and our beliefs, then it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. So what I like people doing is just journaling. Yeah, I don't know what words are intimidating to people. Because I know for me, like journaling is like, oh man, journaling or meditating. That's why I try to use different ones, like just sit in silence and breathe. And then just write down what comes to your mind. I will say this, there have been thoughts that I've had that have like been deep down where like, I can't believe I'm thinking that. And you're gonna be like, I can't write that down. What if somebody sees it? Well, one, make sure nobody sees it. But either way, everybody has these self-limiting thoughts. They do, and unless we bring them to the surface, they're going to continue directing our actions, habits, and behaviors and lead us not to get the results that we're going to get through our nutrition, through our sleep, through our exercise, through our other lifestyle habits. So that's number one, is your focus and mindset.
So that's great. Love that. That's you could almost call it mindfulness, practicing mindfulness. Like, start to be aware of actually what you're thinking and feeling and how that could be sabotaging what you need to do with steps 2 to 6, right?
Yeah, yeah. I love that because I love that word you use, sabotaging. It's self-sabotage. That's perfect. I'm so glad that you said that, because that's what it essentially does. And that's why we think these next 6 things don't work, is because the soil that we're trying to plant all these in is made up of rocks or made up of stone and cement. It's not going to grow.
Yeah, that's so great. And that is, it's great, because luckily we've got lots of tools on this summit for how you dig deep and find out what you think and feel about things and what you then do when you've got stuff that you know you need to transmute. But always step one is you have to start by becoming aware of it. So mindfulness, step one, you've got to start somewhere. So that's great. Love it. All right. Step two, I'm raring to go.
And I know. And again, I want you guys all to know, listening to this, these are steps, but it's not like you have to do one or the other, or step one and then go to the next one. These are all, they're done concurrently. And you'll also notice they're all Fs, so I can remember them easier too.
Okay.
And you can remember them.
Okay.
But except for one, which we'll get to. So food. All right. So food is the next part of the 6-pack. Food, nutrition, detoxification, your fuel that you're putting into your body. Because we're all, you know, most of us are deficient in certain nutrients, and food provides the raw material with which our brain is built, the cells of our brain, our body cells, every cell tissue and organ needs these raw materials. And if we use shoddy materials, then it's not going to sustain. It's not going to live a long time. And, you know, for me, I want to live till I say this, to 105 minimum, like be alive and living with my wife. So I say that because I want to be married to her for 75 years. That puts me at 105. That puts her at 103.
Great.
And thankfully we're on board with all all this too. And but so food, one of the best ways I feel that people can help upgrade their brain is through what I call brain energy shakes and smoothies.
Yeah.
And I will put this, I'll put my smoothie and shake on par with anybody's, is as far as health goes with it. Because I use 7 things or 7 steps. So I use greens in my smoothies. And again, if you're just starting off, you don't have to do this like all in one, but you can again, it's all playing around, figuring out what works for you. I've gone through like three or four different types of blenders, worked my way up to the Vitamix, a nice powerful blender. So some type of greens, you know, it could be dark leafy greens, could even be like iceberg lettuce or romaine lettuce, spinach, collard greens. It gives you the opportunity to have, get these nutrients into your body and the, expose your gut microbiome to all these different types, so then you don't develop sensitivities by eating the same thing over and over again. And a lot of times people don't maybe eat Swiss chard in their salad, but they can put it in their smoothie, right?
Yes.
So you're still getting the benefit of that. You know, chlorophyll, other brain building ingredients in well, greens especially, but then we have healthy fats like avocado, walnuts, hemp seeds, flax seeds, chia seeds. These are all great brain building supplements, or I shouldn't say supplements, healthy fats. So that's two. Number three is we got fruits and vegetables. So even we put greens in there, I put more vegetables in there. And you know, a lot of times I'll just use frozen, because then it, you know, frozen broccoli or beans sometimes I even put in there.
Okay.
Cauliflower.
Do you put red berries or do you stick with green? Berries?
Berries?
Yeah, frozen berries.
Oh, no, I don't have it here, but yep, I put those in there. Blueberries,
great.
Blackberries, raspberries. So yep, that's part of the fruit one. And then number five is I use usually some type of protein, but it just depends on what type of healthy fats I'm using. Like chia seeds, hemp seeds, they have some protein in there.
Yep.
But I will use some type of, or my liquid. So that's number six, the sixth part of the superhuman brain shakes.
Yeah.
Is a liquid. So I've been using bone broth.
Oh,
lately.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Because it's relatively tasteless when you put all the other stuff in there, but I'm getting the benefit of all, like,
wow,
you know, the spices and ingredients in the bone broth.
Amazing. Okay. This is, I'm getting hungry.
And then the last secret ingredient, I don't say secret because I'm giving it to you, is spices and herbs. Putting different, like mint, that gives it such a good taste, like just some fresh mint. Or if you don't have fresh, you know, herbs, I might use some oregano. I don't use that too much in there. I can overpower it. But as far as spices, turmeric, and you could either do this ground or the root. Ginger, same thing, and cinnamon. Ceylon cinnamon gives a really good taste to it while lowering the blood sugar, stabilizing the blood sugar, which that's been shown hugely. Spiking the blood sugar is so detrimental to the brain, leading to more inflammation, neural inflammation, and harder to, I mean, think, decreasing your memory, giving you brain fog. So yes, that is my biggest tip. Actionable tip for the food, fuel, and nutrition.
Love
because
it.
that brain energy shake right there, just like it says, build your brain. And I know you're a fan of energy, Nikki, so it helps give you that abundant energy.
Lovely. I love those first two. This is, you know, if people start to just do what you're saying, just start to do these things, that they will, as it starts to build, they will change their lives if they've not been doing this so far. I love that this is a really practical, focused interview. It's wonderful. I'm going to go make that after this. It sounds great. I'm going to change up my regime a bit. So lovely. Love it so far.
And that's the big thing. I'll say one last thing about that before I go into the third part of the six pack is change it up. Don't use the same thing, same ingredients. I mean, you don't have to change it up every smoothie, but I would say every week or two at least, because you don't want to create these, you know, sensitivities to certain things because you're eating too many of them.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one thing. And if you're just starting off with this, maybe if you like a little bit sweeter, you could maybe use a little bit more fruit. And also what I put a lot in mind is cacao powder, not cocoa powder, but cacao powder, because that's another like huge nutrient, almost superfood, and it's gives you that chocolatey taste too. So I put that in my smoothie, my wife's, and I make, you know, for my three daughters as well.
Lovely.
So that's one thing, that's what you can do there. So now going into the next one is fitness. And I'm giving food and fitness here Because when people want to stay healthy, want to, you know, help their brain have more energy, have more longevity, they think, I got to work out. I got to eat better. But that's why it's a six pack and not a two pack. So fitness, you know, as far as brain health is goes, so fitness is fitness, movement, and exercise. Again, it's those three. Sometimes people think of fitness as, all right, I have to exercise 5 times a week for 30 to 45 minutes, and I have to be completely dead after, like as far as just worn out. And that's good. I want people to do that. But studies have shown just doing that is not going to help your overall brain health, or it's not going to give you that healthy longevity that you might think it would, because if you're still sitting down 8 hours a day, it's not, I should say, counteract that 8 hours. So that's why it's fitness, movement, and exercise, because incorporating daily movement or movement daily and regularly into your life. And that's what I love showing people how to do. You mentioned one of my websites is upgradedparents.com, because I work with a lot of parents. I know that's is one of my goals, is just to take care of myself. I want to show other parents how to do that too. Because we put our health on the back burner as we take care of other people.
Yep.
And then it continues a cycle of, well, now the parents' health breaks down. Now the kids have to take care of them. And that's why I got into brain health and just health in general too, because I saw how my grandparents, you know, one of them went through dementia.
Right.
And my parents having to take care of them.
Yep.
And that made the biggest impact on me. And I'm like, well, I want to break this cycle for my kids.
Yep.
You know, I want to be with them, not, you know, hear like them taking care of me.
Yes.
So anyway, fitness. So yes, we want to get those, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, but even if you can't do that right off the bat, because we have these mental, that's why we talk about focus first.
Yep.
Because what do people say about exercise? Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to do. So let's make it easier. Let's make you want to do it. And you had mentioned too, just starting it, and it cascades into these other things, like you want to keep going because you feel better. So here's what you can do. One thing I love when people are starting off is a 5-minute compromise, or even 10 minutes. So let's say you start, you don't feel like doing it. And I've been there. Nikki, I'm sure you've been there.
I always do it. Okay. Yeah, yes. I'm like, what? How do we get over the sedentary piece? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, but it gets less and less, because I'm thinking, man, I can't wait for my workout today.
Right.
But 5-minute compromise. Start to work out, and if after 5 minutes, put the timer on, you don't feel like going, then stop.
Interesting.
If you do stop, don't beat yourself up about it. That's the key.
Right.
And let's say this. Well, you could even do this. I've heard and instructed people to do this, is if you go to the gym or wherever you work out, set a timer for 10 minutes and go for 10 minutes. And I don't care if you want to keep going more, you have to stop at 10 minutes.
Okay.
So what that does is that creates that, like, oh my God, that want to, rather than saying it's hard, it's like, I want to work out.
Total reverse psychology. Great.
So that's more of a tip to get you wanting to exercise, and like just getting 10, 20 minute workouts in.
Yep.
But let's say you're so busy that you can't do it.
Yep.
You can't even do like 15 minutes or a half hour 3 times a week. Well, now what I want you to do is first thing in the morning for 2 minutes, you're going to just do like some jumping jacks, or you're going to do some air squats, just to get the blood oxygen moving and getting up to your brain so you can think. Push-ups maybe, burpees, up-downs, jump rope, whatever it is, just do it for a couple minutes. I call it my mini morning workout or mini morning routine. And I add in some mobility exercises for 5 to 6 minutes. So again, this takes less than 10 minutes.
Yep.
So I also incorporate movement into my day. So I'm doing this interview from a standing desk.
Yeah.
So like my legs are, you know, I've been standing for like 10 minutes. So I'm like marching here, or, you know, I'm disappearing. I'll do some squats at work. After I wash my hands, we have this hand dryer. So I'll do squats while my hands are under the hand dryer until that goes off.
Great.
So just these little things. So go through your day see, okay, maybe I'm, you know, mowing the lawn and I'm doing, you know, sitting on a riding mower. Well, maybe I'll use the push mower a little bit more.
Yep.
Just those simple tips to incorporate into your day. So fitness. So we got the focus, we got food, we got fitness.
Yep.
And now the next one, which I believe is the least talked about and one of the most important from what the research shows on your longevity and how long your like health span is what I call function. Because here's why. Because your function, so health and disease, especially brain health, is directed by your spine and posture. I don't know if you know that. But or I should say this, is directly impacted by your spine and posture. And why do I call it function? It's because your function comes from your brain. All that energy goes down through the spinal cord, inside your spine, out through every cell tissue, or out through the nerves to every cell, tissue, and organ.
Yep.
So now these organs and cells and tissues, they need those signals, that communication from the brain to tell it what to do. And then for those cells to send those signals back up to the brain, giving information about what's going on and telling the brain what's happening so it can alter, and they play off each other. It's like this, it's a conductor of a symphony.
Yeah.
So the research shows, and why do I call it function, spine, and posture? So again, that's the fourth one. Your spine dictates your function because it dictates your structure. Your spine gives you your structure. So yes, I think most of it have heard and seen, okay, a slump posture is not good. Innately, we know that's not a healthy posture.
Yep.
Well, research backs it up, like in Spine Journal, an American Journal of Pain Management. You know, American Journal of Pain Management, they've talked about this, where nothing, so everything from pain, headache, mood,
yep,
depression, anxiety, blood pressure, all these physiological things are directly affected by your posture.
Fascinating. Yeah. Yep.
Just like your blood pressure and your, you know, different blood markers, they need certain levels, or they're like, there's a range that's quote unquote healthy.
Yep.
It's the same thing with the spine. When you're in this hunched posture, head forward, that hyperkyphosis that we see all too many people have.
Yep.
That's been shown to take up to 15 years off of your life.
Wow. And you're probably depressed along the way.
Well, yeah. Well, think about it, because it zaps your energy.
Yes.
You know, what do people say? Well, it sucks getting old. Don't get old, which again goes back into that focus and mindset.
Yes.
So yes, these things. So in that posture, we're deficient of that nervous system energy.
Yep.
To keep our body going. We're deficient of oxygen.
Yes.
We're not breathing as full. Because, I mean, they can do this as a test, is slump forward, take a deep breath in, and then sit up. Yeah, is I want to say don't force it back, but just sit in a comfortable posture with your head up over your shoulders, take a breath in, and you'll notice how much easier it is to do that.
Yes.
So if we do that time after time after time, decreasing the oxygen going to our brain, well, now that leads to more inflammation of the brain, because oxygen helps to oxygenate your cells and tissues. And of course, I want to say of course, but of course it can lead to brain fog. You're not getting the oxygen, anxiety, depression.
Yep.
So that's why your spine is so important. And most people listening to this, they probably maybe heard something about that, but didn't really understand why. So one tip I will give you,
yes,
for this is, so Nikki, what posture do people get in nowadays when they're looking at their phones or computer?
It's a slumped.
Yeah. So all I want you to do, okay, I got my, you know, phone on airplane mode right here. Just lift it up in front of your chest. You know, turn to the side so you can see. And you can't see me from here, but most people have it down in their laps.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Have it down in their laps, and it's conducive to creating that horrible posture that's affecting your function, affecting your oxygen, affecting your brain,
yep,
decreasing its activity. So just, you don't have to lift it up right there in front of your face. You can, that's fine. But I would say just, you know, chest level. it'll increase or improve your posture just by doing that, not just one time. And that goes for all of these. There's no big aha breakthrough moments as far as you're completely there, the journey is done. It's just these little things that we can incorporate.
Okay? Love it. Yes. Love it. So that loving this. Yeah, this great stuff. Great stuff. So important. I mean, you can use yoga and Feldenkrais and body movement and posture to resolve trauma. So an exercise rebuilds brain cells. So you're spot on. It's brilliant. Yep.
Well, yeah, exercise, if we want to go back to that into the science, how it increases called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor,
yes,
which increases neurogenesis, new nerve cell formation, and also protects healthy brain cells.
Yeah.
So that one thing right there, people like the science.
Yeah, good exercise is good structure and posture. Right, that was number four. Structure.
So now if we want our body to recover, then we have to make sure we get adequate and in quality neuro regenerative sleep.
Yes.
So sleep, you'll notice, I call it refresh, because that's the F word for sleep, because I can't find an F word, or I haven't been able to find an F word yet for sleep. So that's why it's small R, small E, capital F, refresh.
Okay.
All right. So research over and over again showing how this is where your brain actually recovers, and for lack of a better image, it drains. You know, we drain the glymphatic system, which is part of your immune system, which helps to decrease the inflammation around the brain. And I'm not sure if what you think, Nikki, you're an energy expert, so you know that I don't think people are getting enough, one, quantity of sleep, but then now you double that with lack of quality of sleep, because we're not sleeping in a dark room. We're having our phone right next to our heads. We are sleeping with TVs in the room. All these things that are disrupting our sleep, we're maybe not having like almost like a cave where it's just nice and quiet and cool, like 68 degrees at the most. Just so then this is where our bodies and our brains, it gets the neuroregeneration, gets the regenerative recuperative effects happening, releases good, healthy neurotransmitters, resets our hormones. So we're staying up too late, getting up too late, especially now, again, if we're doing this at the time of where people can't go outside, or people can't go to work, I should say, and they're getting outside of the normal routine.
Yes.
That's my best, or normal sleep routine, I'll say, normal refresh and sleep routine. So if we're eating our foods, if we are like getting the exercise, and let's say you are one of those, and I do like 30 to 45 minute workouts 4 or 5 times a week, depending on what your goals are. If you're not, and if you're a certain age, again, it's not all about age, but if we're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and we're working out like madman or madwoman, doing all this CrossFit, and we're not allowing our body and our brain to recover, it's going to continue breaking us down. We're going to start getting even more anxious. Like, I'm doing all this workout. I'm eating so well. I'm watching my posture. Why am I still not losing weight? Well, physiologically, why am I still feel like crap? Why do I why am I still sad? Everybody says it's, if I do this, then I'll be happy, that I will, I'll be able to think clearer. And you will, but if we don't have the sleep to recover, and I will say this, I know if I miss a night of sleep or even two, let's say like get 4, 5, 6 hours for some reason, travel or just, again, I don't know, because it's happened where I just wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't get back to sleep. Maybe one day I'll be fine, but if I do that consistently, I'm not going to be able to think. I'm not going to be able to do these interviews with a clear, coherent mind. So then what you might do, the listener, is you might reach for more coffee and caffeine and energy drinks middle of the end of the day to keep you going. And then again, that creates a cycle where, well, now you can't sleep that night. And now you think, I've heard this way too many times. I don't need to sleep. I only need 4 or 6 hours, and yet they have 10 different health issues or on 20 different medications because, quote unquote, that's become their new normal. It's
yes.
not normal. It's not normal. It's common for them, but they can't remember what it should feel like because it's been so long, because they're dependent on these unnatural and external measures to keep them going.
Yeah. Now, I couldn't agree more with this. It's hard to overestimate how important that one point that you just made with sleep. I think I've been in clinical practice about 15 years. I've worked many years with chronic fatigue clients and patients, and I discovered the circadian rhythm sleep sort of recommendations sort of quite late on in the game. We were all over some of the dietary stuff and we had a psychology division, but when we just made, and there are these simple things that change your life, like just go to bed earlier, maybe get the blue blocking glasses, maybe get bright sunshine the first thing in the morning, maybe don't eat maybe 2 or 3 hours before bed. These sort of things, the timing of light versus timing of the food eating, that it's simple steps that are practical that people can do at home. And if you do them, and with these other things that you're saying as well, you'll be a different person. This what you're saying will change people's lives if they just do them. So just to back up there, that was one of the circadian rhythm, sleep supports, which I talk about as circadian rhythm. It's one of the top possible things that you could do. And we can't talk about it enough on the summit because it helps. It's mental health, it's anxiety, depression, diabetes, everything, all the major chronic complex illnesses. And it's Harvard research on sleep. So you're absolutely on track. It's great.
It's research, but I don't want to say it's common sense, but sometimes common sense isn't common anymore.
Yes,
and
that's so true.
Nikki, what you're saying too is it doesn't even have to be expensive. Like you said, go outside early, between 6 and 8:30, and that, even if it's not sunny, like I'm in Michigan and it's cloudy right now.
Yep.
Even going outside in the clouds, it still resets the hormones to know, okay, my circadian clock is reset. Now I know when 10 o'clock hits.
Yep.
That, okay, it's time just to wind down, and even before that, winding down. But I know 10 o'clock is, between 10 and 10:30 is my bedtime. And I'll read and I've created routines for myself and other people on how to wind down. Because the listener might be getting so, like, oh my, you mean I can't look at my phone or watch TV an hour before bed? I mean, I get rid of my phone an hour or two before bed. I'll still watch some TV. Because that helps to, again, I like it. It relaxes me. But guess what? I got these blue blocking glasses if I'm on my computer. But even then, after 9 o'clock for me, I shut off the computer. But if I am, for some reason, I have my glasses on. But then on my phone, if for some reason I have to check that, it's just automatically comes on that red light. For mine, it's twilight. There's flux for other people. But yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it.
All right. So the sixth one is this. It's called faith. Faith and spirituality and purpose.
Lovely.
Now, people hear the word faith, and again, that can be intimidating, like, religion, and it doesn't have to be religion. It can be. For me, it is. It could be just a sense, or I should say this, faith is a belief in the unseen. Is knowing that you're having faith that there's a reason for whatever's going on in your life. There's a reason for your health. There's a reason this has happened. You might not see it yet, but if you keep your heart, your eyes, your ears open, then you will more than likely see it. But if you keep, and this goes back to the first one of focus and mindset, if you keep saying, no, there's nothing good. There's nothing good out of this. You're going to keep finding that. Finding your faith and purpose is, what is your purpose? What do you want to do in your life? Why do you want to be healthy? And then spirituality is even, it's more broad. It's, again, it doesn't mean religion. It means it's like the journey to find yourself, or the journey to understand yourself. And again, it even circles back to that focus. That's why I bookend my six pack with two, like, more intangible things, I should say, And then in the middle, because you had said, if we just do these simple tips, you're right. But what stops us from doing it is our mindset and our belief a lot of times that it's not worth it. I've gone through that where it's like, is this even helping somebody? You know, I don't know. I mean, are they even going to do it?
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to, that's why I want to start with a focus, end with the faith, because we want to have a belief in the unseen. So that even goes back, like you mentioned, meditation, and just dial back into what we're connected to. And it can be religion or a higher power, a higher source, our purpose, and just dialing into that whenever we feel like this low energy, we feel this sadness, we feel this depression. But I leave it to the end because I like to, I want to say end of this talk. We combine this together in the different programs that I have and different coaching that I do. But yes, that's the six pack right there. So focus, food, fitness, function, refresh, and faith. And I'm going to give you, I'm just going to end here with this one. And then I'll give it to you there. If you are a go-getter and you want an eight pack, so the seventh one is family, which again, this is, again, family is integral. And by family, I mean the social interaction, community. We know how important that is with, again, our health and longevity and our brain and our, especially emotions. And then the last thing is fun. So there's two more F words, have fun.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'd love the last one. I got tingles when you said about faith. That speaks so much to what else is on the summit as well. That was amazing. You brought together, you could have whole summits on each one of those things, basically.
Yeah.
But that was lovely to give people practical steps to start to actually bring that stuff into their life now. Don't wait, start straight away. And here's how you can do it. You've made it simple and you've broken it down and you've covered mind, body, spirit. That's amazing.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ryan. How can people, I'm sure that you, people will love to know more about you, where they could maybe work with you and maybe anything, events you've got coming up, please share.
Sure. Oh, sure. So what I have coming up is called the Leaky Brain Summit, which again, along with yours, Nikki, I mean, if people listen to these and get them and, you know, own them and just listen to them over and over again, like a small investment, it's going to be huge. So that launches soon. And then also, to find me,
yep.
Facebook @ Dr. Wolfert, so DrWohlfert. And then also at totalhealthspine.com. Those are the best places to reach me, see the different programs that we have. And this can, you can work with me from anywhere in the world. So that's the cool part about this.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Dr. Ryan. It's been awesome. I've totally loved this interview and I think people get a lot out of it. And I hope you get a lot out of it as well and people follow up with you. So looking forward to your summit as well. I'm sure I'll be helping to support that too. So lovely. Take care everyone for now and see you in the next episode.